Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to another program in our Week in Review series, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment world. My guest today is guitar virtuoso James Williams, who has just released his latest CD, Eclectic Shred. James, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Simon. Nice to be here. What's up, everybody out there? All you guitar heads.
Right. Earlier today, I put my research department to work. You know, I put down my hammer. Tell me everything you can about this James Williams. Oh, okay. I'm completely telling lies. I don't have a research department, but I did spend a little bit of time Googling you. And tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you were born in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's correct. I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come from a family of nine, a lot of musicians, artists in my family. I better go inside. Come from a lot of musicians, raised on classical music because my mom sang opera. My dad sang some too in local plays and stuff at the church. My sister sang an opera for the San Francisco Metropolitan Opera for about 10 years. Just, you know, club singer in the family, piano players. So that's what I grew up on. And then played sports a lot. And then by the time I turned 12, I went through my, I think it was my sister's album collection, and heard Jimi Hendrix, Electric Ladyland. And, man, when I heard that, I knew what I wanted to do, you know, play guitar. So, you know, I started off with Hendrix and just kind of took it from there.
So
started at the top and worked my way down.
Right. So you were surrounded by classical music.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really stick with you.
I had to refine it later in life, you know, once I, you know, started listening to Hendrix and, you know, trying to play as much of that as possible with turntable, you know, records and 8-tracks, and then, you know, showing my age. But then I started listening to Al DiMeola, Larry Carlton. I gravitated towards jazz. And then later I went back to classical through listening to, like, Uli Roth and Yngwie Malmsteen, who, you know, got a lot of his technique and music from Uli, you know. As a lot of people don't know, but the Electric Sun and Firewind albums, man, it was almost like note for note Yngwie. I don't know, about 7 or 8 years before Yngwie came out, but Yngwie took it further, of course, you know. And so I started really getting into neoclassical, and then going back to my roots, and I just kind of tried to incorporate everything, you know, jazz to classical, you know.
I have to ask the question. Was this just youthful rebellion? You know, you
probably, yeah. Some of that, like everybody is, you know. I mean, I think my dad probably wanted me to follow sports and stuff I was pretty good at, but, you know, soccer and everything. But, yeah, you kind of burn out playing from age 6 on up through junior high school and kind of quit by high school time, you know. But, yeah, I was always playing with high school players when I was in junior high school, you know, so I guess I was okay at soccer or whatever. But, yeah, guitar was it, you know. So one of my youthful rebellion, playing loud and always told to turn it down, but you know.
Well, how would you
that stuff just makes you practice more, you know, the more people tell you, or at least me personally, you know, somebody says, oh, you can't do that or you shouldn't do that, it makes you want to do it more, you know.
Right. Would you have any objections if I was to play a track from Eclectic Shred?
Please do.
This is D-17 Flying Fortress.
Cool. Let it rip.
It's ripping.
Right on, man. We'll be right back.
to admit that that's a bit of a stretch from Johann Sebastian Bach and Rachmaninoff.
You know what? I know that over the phone, I don't know if it's both of your speakers or I can't hear really over the phone, but at the end, the guitar, it like phased out or something, but I assure you on the CD, there is guitar almost to the very end of that song. I don't know what happened with the file, but that's weird. Could you hear guitar all the way to the end, or did it cut out?
No, it sounded good.
Okay, cool. Right on.
Yep.
It's a lot different than Bach, you know. It's just got the odd time meters and the Kansas influence and, you know, all that stuff with it, you know. So,
as I said earlier, I did spend some time researching you. You know, eclectic shred is hardly your first time on CD. I don't know how many CDs you you actually you know have under your title, but
yeah.
You've been on a whole bunch, I think.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff out there as far as solo projects. This is the second one. I did some local stuff in the 80s and whatever, and got in Guitar Player Magazine in the 90s with some demo stuff to Mike Varney. But an album last year was on Magna Carta, actually through Mike Varney, and old friends reunite. But it was called Ex Opus, The Epiphany. And you know, I got good reviews and everything. I think it went over pretty good. It was more... along the lines, stylistically, of it's more classical and prog metal, like this album, but it didn't really have too much jazz influence or on the fusion side. But it's more like Adagio and Symphony X style stuff, you know. And I used two singers on that album, a couple local guys here in Dallas, and then played all the instruments on it. Had some symphony stuff, kind of Alfred Hitchcock sounding stuff, you know. And this one has a symphony on it too, The Unborn Massacre. It's kind of like a takeoff of Carl Orff style. I don't know if you ever heard any of his stuff, but yeah, I've kind of gravitated towards the Russian composers and stuff too, and some Bulgarian music. I have some Bulgarian style influence and Al Di Meola influence on Europa song on this album. So it's a Middle Eastern feel to it.
Yeah, in fact, I saw a reference.
This album has everything, really. It's got classical, it's a jazz fusion, metal fusion, I guess I'd call it, with, you know, a twist on some jazz in there. Like the section in B-17, that little development. I play some Holdsworth style scales, a lot of weird augmented whole tone type stuff.
Yeah, I saw the reference to Al Di Meola, and my eyes lit up.
Yeah, he's incredible, man.
Right.
Gary Moore, too, is one of my huge influences from Thin Lizzy. But before
right.
that, you know, he ended up at the end of his career primarily playing blues and stuff when he kind of slowed down, you know, as he got older. And but his when he was 19 years old, he was one of the original fusion shred guitar players with Al Di Meola, like totally unappreciated, unrecognized for it with the Coliseum 2 band. He did like, I think, two albums with them. Some pretty rare stuff if you can find it, but it was unbelievable. Sounds like Jeff Beck on steroids, you know, just shredding across a fretboard, you know.
Okay. A wild guess, and I'm not going to hold you to this. How many CDs do you think that you've appeared on? Yeah.
Well, you know, in the 90s, I played and toured with Wayman Tisdale the late Wayman Tisdale, ex-NBA basketball star, on I think it was the Decisions album on Atlantic Records. I played on like four songs with that, and I got to play with Layla Hathaway, which to listeners of prog metal guitar and fusion guitar, they don't probably know who she is, but, you know, she's a daughter of Donny Hathaway, but that's Layla Hathaway, great gospel jazz singer. I played with Marcus Miller, you know, the best jazz bassist, funk bass players, primarily funk, wrote all those hits for Luther Vandross, and then I played with Gerald Albright, played on a track with Norman Brown on that album. It was a great album. Norman Brown's Grammy-winning jazz guitar player, and oh man, a lot of people did a gospel album a couple years ago called The Lord's Prayer, and had Vanessa Bell Armstrong, and played on a song with her. Played on two or three songs, I think, on that album. A lot of gospel and Grammy winners. I got a track on Mike Phillips' album on Hidden Beach Records, Michael Jordan's label out of New York. He's a jazz sax player, great sax player. And a lot of session work, really, you know. Did T.D. Jakes, Woman They Aren't Loose. Did it. I think that was up for a Grammy, although I didn't get my Grammy in the mail. But I played on the track, the soundtrack, I think, for that movie. Or the one that he won a Grammy for. I don't even know the name of it. Yeah, you know, what can I say, man? I'm a gig whore. I'll take any, I do tracks for anything, you know. I love doing gospel and funk, though, you know. I grew up with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I love funk guitar, and I really want to do a jazz fusion funk CD.
Oh, that
which
that'd
be a totally different audience and might freak out any fans of this stuff, but hey, man, you got to appreciate all kinds of music, you know.
Oh, that would be simply splendid.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, now
I've already got about 6-7 songs, more than halfway finished, actually.
All right, now I'm gonna.
I write about 100 songs a year. It seems like, you know.
All right, I'm gonna blow your mind. You're mentioned on something like 30 CDs.
Me?
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you find that?
Oh,
you're really good. I'm not good on the internet, man. I just have to say, I'm old school. I'd rather, you know, I still use a cassette. When I write music, I still use a handheld cassette recorder just to grab, hit record, put the guitar down. Put down some guitar ideas, vocal lines, whatever, you know, whatever I'm doing now. I can't get away from still using cassette tapes. And, of course, you know, I get it all on the computer, man. But I hate computers. You know, I'd much rather do all outboard gear, but you can't these days.
I'm with you on that. Computers,
yeah, you know,
suck.
What I'm talking about, man. Tape recording, man, is just, people don't even know. I don't know why people buy MP3s. They should just buy CDs. I mean, you're losing so much sound quality. Everybody should order CDs. I mean, it's unbelievable the comparison between a CD and an MP3. MP3, you might as well listen to a copy of a cassette recording to me. And all the torrent downloads, you know. That's why everybody really needs to buy artists' music legitimately. Because it's not free to make this music, and it's like a dying breed. I mean, it's going to go away. I mean, can't survive. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars to do an album like this. And a year of composing. It's not just Bon Jovi songs or, you know, we're not playing like, it's not easy stuff. It takes a lot of thought and hours of practicing and, you know. I Google my name for torrent downloads. It's just like one after another for my record, man, and them stealing it, you know, giving it away for free, basically.
Oh, so, it sucks. And
it sucks, man.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, it's like if you worked a job and then it comes time for your paycheck, we gave it to somebody else. You're like,
yeah.
Hey, man, I did the work for that. You should get paid for the work you do.
Yep.
Earning costs.
Property rights, you know, are a subject that bothered me greatly.
Yeah.
But rather than get into a legal discussion,
right.
Yeah,
back to the music.
Right.
To the album.
There's a question that I always like to ask musicians. Are you a studio guy, or do you prefer the wild live environment of the stage?
The stage is always where it's at. You always play your best in front of other people. If I could, I would have 30 people in my studio when I'm recording, just for the inspiration. Just the hardest thing is to try and capture your real self on your instrument. You have to, like, detach yourself from all thought in almost like a trance-type stage, you know, a spiritual realm, to play at a certain level. For me, you know, other than that, you know, it's in front of people. It's just, it's, of course, you can, you know, in the studio, when you're doing a record, you have to take out some mistakes. I like to leave some mistakes or, you know, whatever. And you got that live feel. You just, I always play better live. I still, to this date have never really captured my true playing. Because, you know, I seem like I always play my best live and I never get it recorded. You know, the story of my life, you know.
Oh,
but for
okay.
this album, you know, I used, on that song you just played, I used Mike LaPond, my good friend from Symphony X, on bass. And he's most gracious to play on the album. I think he played on three or four songs. On his incredible bass player, you know.
Okay. How would you feel if we took a musical break and played the title track, Eclectic Shred?
Sounds great.
Okay, here it is.
Let's do it. All right. Hey, real quick, Matt Gilroy did an extensive keyboard solo on that breakdown section. Keyboard player for James LaBrie, Dream Theater, you know? And Michael Pond, again, he played bass on that song. Probably okay. Also use an open tuning. This is a secret open tuning for that. About half the album was written with this open tuning I use. I haven't given it out. Nobody else I've ever heard uses it. And I'm able to play scales and notes not reachable on a regular tuned guitar. And I turn a 24 guitar fret into like 32 frets with this tuning. So I can play really high. I can jump octaves real easy too on guitar. And play chords you can't play. Open chords and stuff. You can't find them on a regular tuned guitar. So anyway, that's some weirdness I came up with over the years.
Okay, let's move on to some absolutely shameless commercialization.
Beautiful, man, because I know what you're going with that. And so let me put a plug in. I use DiMarzio pickups exclusively, and you can find me on the DiMarzio website. I also use a new line of acoustic tube amps. And second half, want some website plugs where to get the product?
Yeah.
Go to www.jameswilliamseclecticshred.com. Make sure you spell it eclectic, like the word. Not electric guitar. Eclecticshred.com. It's on CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon, CD Universe, and I think there's about 20 other distributors for digital downloads out there. You know, a lot of them I think are European download, digital, whatever.
What,
but,
what sort of feedback are you getting from listeners?
Well, I got a YouTube channel, James Williams Guitar. You can go and subscribe to that, and I have postings of some guitar lessons, and I think we're getting ready to post another song. But I have a couple of the full-length version of the songs. I got pretty good listens to. I just created the page about a week ago, 500 listens or so, you know. Everybody seems to like it, you know. Guitar players, you know, so it's just getting out there, you know, so it's just getting started. It'll just be a rock gathering moss rolling downhill, you know, from this point.
Right.
Thanks to a great radio show like yours. It'll definitely help.
What is going to be your next project?
Well, I'm going to try and do some guitar clinics through Guitar Center for the acoustic amps. I hope I'm trying to set that up right now, and then try and get the guys, musicians together for some live gigs, and I'm going to take it from there. I've got some studio projects lining them up for the new year, and my next album is definitely going to be jazz fusion, like real heavy jazz fusion. Herbie Hancock meets Sean Lane or something like that, you know.
You said something that really caught my attention. You gathering musicians together. That's right up there with herding cats.
Oh, got that right. It's more like herding wild cats, feral cats. Wild animals.
Yeah.
You can get them to show up to rehearse, man. It's a miracle.
Right.
The guys I use, you know, out of New York, Mike LaPon, he's in New Jersey, you know, so he's got his tours and stuff. He's kind of busy guy, you know. So, you know, I have to get some local cats. Especially
right.
I'm doing this myself. I chose not to go with a record label on this album, so it's all me and my investor and partner, Carrie Spector. And, so there's not the, these days, unless you're on a major, there's really no money for a tour. And it's really hard for, the way to get progressive artists like myself out there to see them in concert is really to buy the CDs, you know, where it's financially feasible to spend money on tour dates, you know, and to get out. So
I'm a huge fan of of all things prog.
Mm-hmm.
But prog tends to be expensive, and it doesn't travel well. It's too expensive to have five or six guys on stage. Do you have a cunning plan? Can you cut it down to just you and someone else?
Yeah, it could definitely be drums, two guitars, bass, and then you have the keyboard parts, which are really limited on this record, extensively. I played very little. I did all the pad works and everything. I played, I think, one or two keyboard solos. Of course, I write a symphony piece, which you would just have that as an intro at a gig, is the plan. But you can handle the guitar, the keyboards on guitar, definitely. I had my friend Richard Tull here in Dallas, Texas, play a few solos, so I would use him, or my buddy Dave Thomas in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He did a couple of solos, short solos on the record. I'd probably do that, just a two guitar thing,
This has nothing to do with anything, but why are you in Plano, Texas?
Oh, good question. Well, I've traveled. I've lived all over the place in the U.S., the D.C. and other parts of the East Coast and California. And, I've done the tour on Atlantic Records, like I said, in the 90s. And I moved back to Oklahoma and got married, spent some time there, and then decided I had some contacts in Dallas. So I was like, let me give it a shot. And so far it's been pretty good. There's really good players here, and there's a lot of gigs and stuff. Although the economy is hurting everywhere for everybody, the gigs have dropped off for sure, But I just teach guitar repair, got a studio, play out locally. And I haven't really tried to go on the road again. I have a daughter now, so I definitely would for this record, given the opportunity. But I haven't really pursued any, long road gigs, other than playing out of town with some maybe top 40 or something, or jazz, whatever.
All right.
Not traveling real far, whatever.
All right. My electronic editor is nagging me. I do need to close this interview. So,
okay.
James, I really want to wish you every success with Eclectic Shred, and I do hope that you'll keep in touch with me. I would love to find out what your what your projects are doing, what you're doing.
I appreciate it, Simon. It's been very enjoyable, man. I've had a lot of fun with you. It's been
okay.
nice interview, buddy.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
Until next time.
Go get the CD, everybody. All right. God bless.
Until next time. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe day. We'll be back again soon. Until next time, goodbye.